beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
God was so careful about it and allowed it to be documented. Even when there was no printing press, there was no nothing, God ensured that those scripts were preserved in a space of 1,500 years. I think we should give it to this God. Those scripts were what? Preserved. Somewhere, somehow, from generation to generation, some monks kept rewriting this thing. They would all write it. They would look at the copy, this and right. And maybe you are looking for the original copy, go, you may not find. Hallelujah. And God has his reasons for not allowing you to see the original copy, go. Praise God. Because that one belongs to God. Do you understand? It belongs to God. So that if you say you have the original copy, I don't know. But I know that those monks have found a way to, you know, God inspired them and they kept rewriting those things. They kept recopying them. And some of them, you've heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Those monks had died. Those scrolls were inside certain caves. Those monks, only God knows for hundreds of how many years they have died. And then people began to dig them up again. I don't know what made them write and keep those scrolls there. And then they began to dig them up. So our gospel is not something that God left a witness among men. Amen. He didn't all leave it in heaven. It's just not just one story. He gave men, you know, as witness. So our faith is not, so if our faith is like that, what we have come to believe in is tangible, and then don't think that the hope that you have been called to is an abstract hope. It is not passive. It is real. It is true. It is reality. It is the reason you and I are coming to church. And one of the reasons this teaching is happening is so that you can have a feel and understanding, because that thing is a fabric. It's the hope is what anchors you to God. If you have lost hope, then I'm sorry. I don't know how you can be helped. Today, let's pick up from the story of Simon in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we know the story of that man very much. He's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. I hope that one day Daddy will talk about him. I preempt, not by word of knowledge, by word from words from knowledge. I know that one day Daddy likes him, so one day he will still talk about him. Praise God. We have a man here, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. A man called Simon. And he came to 25, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for who? Or for what? The consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. 27. And he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. 30, for mine eyes have what? Seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Hallelujah. We find a man here who God had told, we don't know for how many years, we don't know his age actually, when God spoke to him about his Christ. He must really be God's friend. Amen. He must be God's friend to have access to this. There was another woman there, Annas. Okay? There were two. So God had a man friend and he had a woman friend. Praise God. And he revealed to this man, okay, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. We departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and speak of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So God didn't just do it with a man. He also did it with a what? With a woman. But I'm particular about, they didn't tell us that this woman had anything ahead, but for the man, God had spoken to him that you will see the consolation of Israel before you go. This man was like Methuselah. Okay? He was a timepiece too. Like that. And we see some characteristics in this man that makes this man very, very special for me. A man that, can we say, well, this man did not also receive the promise. Hope you know. Hallelujah. Even though he carried that consolation in his hand, yet he didn't receive it. Okay? But the Bible says they saw from afar off, and then they what? They embraced. And one thing that strikes me with this man was that this man told God, you can now allow your servant to depart in peace according to your word. I really want to go like this. It's a desire. If the changing of our bodies does not meet me, praise God. I think I love to go like this. Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like one of them. But he never died the death of the righteous. So it's more than a wish. Praise God. He did not live the life. And so he did not attain that. But here was a man who said, I can now live. There was something God placed ahead of him, and that thing sustained him. The power of that word sustained that man. The Bible did not tell of his age, but I know this man must be old. Or was his age mentioned? His age was not mentioned, but this man was kept alive by the fact that God said, there's a consolation that I am bringing, and I want you to be a witness in the earth to that child. And he held that child in his hand, and I'm very sure that man may not have passed that day. Hallelujah. He may not have passed that day. And that is the power of hope. As long as the man had not seen the consolation, death had no power over him. His kidneys could not fail. You don't understand. His eyesight, because he needed the eyesight to see that consolation. His eyesight will not what? Go dim. There was power just by the word that God gave, and by some hope that God placed ahead of him. And you know that hope that he even saw was just the hope of the fathers of Israel. You know, Paul kept talking about the hope of the fathers. Let's see somewhere in Luke chapter 24, where Paul began to dazzle. Sorry, Acts. Acts 26, verse 6. He kept talking about the hope of the fathers, what the fathers were looking up to, and what they were expecting. All right, let's begin from, say, 4. Okay. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, knew all the Jews. Verse 5. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most traitorous sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto who? To the fathers. Unto our fathers. Unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God, and they are still serving God till today. Hallelujah. Abby? Judaism is still God. Till today. Unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night. Hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. So the hope was already here, and they were still fighting him for saying that that man behind their house is that Christ that they were talking about. So there was a hope that the fathers, you know, and till today, they misjudged that hope. That hope has come to them. Hallelujah. That hope has come to them, but for them, that is not it. And that is one of the unfortunate things that can happen. Apart from the fact that men can lose hope, apart from the fact that people can lose their focus, another thing that can happen is that the hope can actually come and then you misjudge it. And that is the predicament that Israel is in today. You can misjudge hope. You can misjudge it. It's a hope, and it has come. That hope that has come in Christ Jesus, if they embraced it, was supposed to open them up to other things. Hallelujah. So, I don't know if Simeon understood what God meant by his Christ. But one thing I take away from that man was that the man was a man that was filled with expectation. And because of that expectation, he was preserved. He was alive. And that tells me that there's a connection between hope and a man's purpose, even here. Praise God. The man didn't waver. He stayed true. He kept waiting. Even death waited until his purpose was fulfilled. We see something also in Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. When they sent for Jesus, that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus waited another how many days. And then when Jesus came, they said, if you were here, my brother or our brother will not have what? Have died. Let's see that place in John chapter 11. Let's go down because of time. Let me look for that place where who came out to meet him. Was it Mary or Martha? One of them ran out to meet with him and began to speak. I think it was Martha first. Let's go down. Just go to 15. Let's see. Let's go to 15, 16, 17. Go down to 20. Just follow me. Just go to 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother... Please, don't abuse Martha again. Because Mary was the one hearing word. But Martha made a statement. She said, I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give to you. Let's keep reading. Martha then said unto him, I know that he shall rise again. In the what? At least Martha had some knowledge. Do you understand? As long as hope is alive, even your present is secure. At least people abuse and say matter. You know, you even say you are doing matter things. Mary was the one that loved word. Martha was the one that loved yameto, kitchen. But I'm glad that she even had this understanding. Even though Jesus corrected her, but Jesus taught them this. This is not in the Old Testament. So let's clear that. Kosimbe, Maybe there's a, in the, if you go to the prophets, maybe you can find something near it. But it wasn't this direct. He said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. 25. Jesus said unto her, I am what? The resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, the woman did not, yeah, she said it. I don't know. Maybe she was wavering. She said it. She said, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Said, but I know that he will rise again. So she was, what does she mean by, I know that whatsoever you ask, he will give you? I suppose she was trying to say, if you ask God that I should wake my brother. Okay, maybe she was talking about the resurrection day. Because Jesus said, Jesus replied and said, your brother will rise again. And then she pushed it to the future. But at least she had hope. And this is one of the, you may have problems with her, but it's one of the great big expressions of faith. She did not stand there saying, what kind of a God are you preaching to? Because, see, we have a responsibility. Like I said, our hope is not a passive one. You have a responsibility. She didn't stand there complaining. Yeah, she said, if you were here, my brother would not have died. That was normal. And she said this, and I think I love her for that. But Jesus told her, no. Yes, you have a hope that he will rise in the last day. He said, but I am here. The one you are going to see there is what? He's here. Say, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall what? He shall live. Hallelujah. And I think you should give it to those two women. Give it to them. At least they gave Jesus back what he taught them. Hallelujah. Some people will not remember. They will say, ah, you want to badger, brother, what you cool. But they said it and all that. Jesus also did not enter into his assignment in the earth without this hope thing. He had an expectation. Isaiah 53 told us something. I think, if you read that whole chapter, there's a verse there that talks about he is seeing a seed. And he was going to be happy. And I think that was what the father promised him some things. One of the things was that you will bear children, you have seeds. Another thing he was praying in John 17, he was praying about a particular glory. And hear this, the reward system of God is part of the gospel. And when I meet people who say that, just love God and never think about reward, I think there's something lacking in that understanding. Hallelujah. There's something lacking. Fine. The beginning of anything you do for God must be love. But why do you even love? Even eternal life has a promise attached to it. He says, if you believe, you will not perish, but you have what? You didn't just love God. And God understands that no man can love him for loving's sake. There must be something. Praise God. And God attached that thing to the promise. Hallelujah. I don't know what kind of promise you received. But the eternal life I received him. You know what? You don't even like the capacity to love him. Who are you to love God? It says we love him because he what? He first loved us. Let us understand this God. And just follow him the way he has chosen to present himself. Don't let us heal our own gospel. The gospel of just love God. You know, and everything will be in place. You lack the capacity. You don't even know how to. He has to teach you how to love him. Do you understand? Some people have tried to love God under the law. God said, if I Shebi, we've been teaching that in believers' class. They tried to please God with all the offerings, with all the sacrifices, with everything. And God kept saying that this is not what I want. This is not what I am looking for. So God's reward system is a whole doctrine inside this Bible. It is called eternal rewards. judgment. A whole section of the foundation of our faith. So if you don't understand it, I'm sorry for you. You are going to lose many things. So, if Jesus' life did not lack that, Jesus had a focus. There was something placed ahead of him. The Bible says, for the glory in Hebrew, say, for the glory that was what? Set ahead of him. Abi, you are more righteous than Paul. Abi, the Father himself. Say, for the glory that was set ahead of him, he endured the shame. He endured the cross, he bore the shame. So if Jesus didn't come here because he had to come, he came because there was something. The Father placed something ahead of him. Yes, God loved us and all that, but he didn't even send his own son without a promise. Are we together? Are we together? If God did not send his own son without promising him, let's read that place, please. John 17. So that this thing can sink well. Am I correct with John 17? There's something in verse 22, but that's not what I want. Let's see. Verse 10. What is in verse 10? Okay, verse 5. Well, let's read from 4. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work thou givest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, do what? Glorify thou me with what? With the what? Which I had with thee before the world was. I want to believe in 1 year just so. Yorubas will say something. They say, Kini kolumanje, kini an orasoti, lumanje, kini another. Praise God. When two people are talking and say, where is that yesterday thing? What does it mean? It means there was a transaction yesterday. All right? There must have been certain transaction. One of the challenges we can have is that sometimes we see God's promise ahead of us. We see the hope, but we can try to achieve it by ourselves. I know that has given birth to a lot of religions. Some of these religions you see, the people that started them were Christians at the time. Yes, and somebody were swayed. Maybe they felt there should have been an easier way. Praise God. Maybe they felt there should have been that this thing you are telling us is not even logical. There should be a more logical way. And an example is in Adam. In Genesis chapter 3. An example of such is in Adam. And I think I want to agree with the fact that Adam saw something. If the last Adam saw something ahead of him, I think the first Adam too, there's a likelihood that the first Adam also saw something. Are we together? Jesus came as a type of that man, as the fulfillment of the first one. And the one that came later saw into the future, saw his seed. God placed something ahead of him. First Timothy that we read in chapter 2, the Bible says that it was not Adam that was deceived, it was the woman that was deceived. And she was the one in the transgression. Praise God. And if you look at it, God didn't curse the man. God caused the earth for the man's sake. And many times we even forget that in the days of Noah, God revealed that thing. We don't know. In the days of Noah, there was a review. After Noah offered that sacrifice. Okay, but that is not where I think Adam saw something. And immediately his bride had taken that fruit. Sherry Garden, what about Don? I'm a very plenty question. We can only begin to theorize and use scripture to explain scripture. So don't think that God made them today and they fell tomorrow. It was a war. We don't know how many years that thing spanned. I hope you know that some of those discoveries that these scientists are seeing, and they call 4 something billion years, they may just be correct. They may be correct. Some of those things had been there, not even in, you know, we see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 1, 2. We don't even know when the dinosaurs existed. But they have seen They've seen their fossils. They've seen giants that if you sit down beside their skull, you look like you and the skull will be competing for mass and size. When did they walk this earth? Daddy, I want giants starring in a documentary. I mean, repeat on Days of Israel. Because those ones, maybe they say that we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Those ones, they will not go near. Did you see those skeletons? Please just go to YouTube and go and search for those skeletons and see them. The human being, one, their head is bigger than a whole human being. When did they walk this earth? And you think those guys can? They will not even follow Moses. Praise God. Should we they still say, if you go, we are like grasshopper. If they see those ones, they will tell Moses, I am Lord Egypt. We are going back. Hallelujah. But I think Adam saw something, and probably Adam felt that there was a way to salvage the situation. And it came from an understanding too. We must give it to him. He understood plenty of things. Some of the things that maybe you and I don't even know today. Probably he felt there was a way. And the way was to join her, praise God, and eat it so that in the future... In Romans 8, is there? Maybe he felt that was the way. And look at that thing. Jesus also died for us as his own bride. Hallelujah. Jesus died for us to get his own bride. So if Adam did that, I suspect he probably just looked at it and felt, rather than let this woman, you know, let me just join. When they joined, the whole thing crashed. But I really didn't think that was God's own perfect plan of how he wanted to bring the Christ. God had his plans. But somebody went through certain channel. We don't know what was on God's mind. Praise God. As a matter of fact, none of us knows what would have happened if Adam and Eve had continued to live. But I know God had plans. Praise God. God had plans. And that's why this issue of knowing your purpose and all that, it matters so much. The reason why you will progress, we are talking about the convention, the power of God and all that. Excuse me. People that walked in power and that God had placed special abilities in them, they are work horses. So at one side of the story of our bishop, one day he went to pray. I don't know. I think they said he took Pastor Kumuyi along or somebody. I don't know who they told. And they're praying 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours. Along the line, one of them slept off. And Bishop continued for 17 hours. And when he was done, he said, Father, thank you for this session. You don't get that. We thank you, Lord, for this session. So 17 hours was his session. Almost one day. If I pray 17 hours, this place will blow. at once. Hallelujah. But for them to have put in all those energies and all that, you think they were just doing it for fun? They had seen something. They have seen something. And even in your assignments, in your calling, in whatever ministry God is placing your hand, in your purpose, there's a need to still see something. Anything you don't see future in it, you will handle it anyhow. If you don't see future in the relationship, you will handle it anyhow. If you don't see future in the marriage, you will have concubine. Even as a Christian, praise God. Yeah, if you look at your marriage and you can't find the future. If you look at you are doing a job, you are in a line of business, and you don't see a future in it, and there's nothing in it you are looking for, you have every tendency to handle it, what? Anyhow. I was talking with a student today, and he came to me, and, you know, the boy is always following, Atlanta is always following Nance, up and down. You see, 100 level. Maybe he has gone to one school before, child. It's nice. By the time he did first semester, oh, Larry Mo Ugwe, he passed one or two by whiskers. And then he came to me today, humbled. He says, sir, I'm just seeking your advice. If I failed my own courses too. Sir, I'm just seeking your advice. What should I do? And all that. And you know, a 4-5 is how many percent of people's problem? So I told him, I said, see, that what has happened to you, fine, is bad. I said, but it happens to a lot of undergraduates. When they come in 100 level, they even don't know what they call first class. Praise God. They don't know what they call 2-1. They don't even know what they call 3. Just we play multi-1 campus. So they do the first semester anyhow. By the time you have like 3, 4, 5 carryovers, then your head will now straighten. Then that's when you now start asking, hey, your points will need 2-1. The now say it's 3.5, and you are already in 0.9. And then you're asking, hey, Joe, she's demanding 4 points this semester. You know that something's beginning to form, praise God. But when he nearly came, there was nothing ahead of him. And because of that, he handled that semester anyhow. And the guy, I don't know. I sure did my part in talking to him. Amen. There are people who can't wait. And they find their way. They find their way. Sometimes this hope places you under restrictions. Sometimes because of this hope, we cannot go where you want. We cannot do what you like. Hallelujah. Hannas was in that temple for all those years, for like maybe 70 years or 8 something years, she was there and she could not leave. I don't know how many times Simon must have been practically living inside that temple because they were waiting. I'm waiting and waiting. And this hope is going to constrain you. That's the truth. It's going to constrain you. See, it takes energy to wait. Are we together? It takes energy to what? To wait. It takes a lot of energy. Human beings, and we are by nature, anything that is already passing, you know, especially when pastor has to wait for you, pastor she has to, you know, we used to go to work very well. If pastor has to wait for you, if pastor waits for you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you really need pastor to pick you up, be there before him. Because pastor can pass. Pastor has passed before and left me. Maybe he does not remember. Pastor passed and left me. And, you know, and since that day, I learned a lesson. That if you want to move a pastor, make sure you're always calling. Praise God. Not that he wants to leave you. Sometimes he doesn't just have time. Hallelujah. So it's one of the most difficult things to do, to wait. And therefore, you need something to keep you waiting. You need something to keep you watching. You need something to keep you alive. And that's why even in the natural is the same way. As long as something is ahead, some people's life force expire before their expectations come. I pray that will not, that in our, but God is faithful. God is faithful. All those men, Abraham, all of them, their life force could not carry. Even Paul thought that he was going to be alive. And I think that gives us an example of how to live our Christian lives. Let us live as if the Lord will come. As a matter of fact, one of the things that God placed ahead of us is that Christ is coming back. That's the truth. And don't push it into the future. Fine, we know that he gave signs. That signs with this, signs with that. But if then Paul were highly expectant that day will meet them, I think we should also not fall short of that. But we saw that his writings began to change when he realized that so he began to, if you check his letter to Timothy, check his letter to the Thessalonians, it was a different tone. His letter to Timothy, he started telling Timothy that, well, my time to depart is very close. I have fought a good fight. I have, all right. I have 16 minutes to go. Satan can also be after you. Satan can be after you. The Bible says the thief does not come. He comes to do SKD. To steal. You know SKD. To steal, to kill, and to what? To destroy. If Satan had the chance to physically exterminate you, he will take it. Yes. It is God that has been preserving us. If he has the chance to exterminate anybody, Satan will practically take it. Samson was a case. The Bible says he will begin to deliver Israel. I agree. But they didn't say he was going to die on the laps of a woman. I don't think that is how a child of God should die. Okay? Thank God he had the opportunity to repent. I was told of somebody during this NSAS. They say, come and go and join protest. He said, I'm not going. He said, I'm not born again yet. He said, bullet can hit me. If bullet hits me, I will just show up at the other side. And I'm not prepared. Praise God. I don't know if there's a wisdom in that. Hallelujah. There are things we must do to keep ourselves firmly in hope. Number one, God's word must not be far from us. As a matter of fact, hopes are painted by words. Even the hope of eternal life, what did they use to paint it? It's words. It's words. Commanders will tell their soldiers, even when they feel like this battle is almost lost, and then they will cite them. Do you watch those epic movies where Williams Wallace will come? They are not plenty and say, we are fighting for our freedom. We are, if we die, we die standing. We don't die on our knees. You know, Spartans. Spartans don't die. They don't die on their knees. They die fighting. And then the people will be so psyched and they will shout, hey, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Sometimes, I'm jealous sometimes. And sometimes, they died there. The 300 that went to battle in that film, 300, they didn't come back. Hallelujah. But of course, they died with their pride. But I don't know what will happen to them when they get to God. They said they will land in hell. They will dine. Okay, they said they will dine in hell that evening. Praise God. God's word is important. It's a vehicle by which hopes are painted. If somebody is going to sway you to, they are going to sway you by what? By words. Sweet words. Sweet words. I don't know how people came to believe that if they die, they will come back as dogs. religions of the world, people believe, because somebody told them that if you die as a good person, you will come back as a, you know, he said if you do good and you die, you come back as one animal. If you do bad and you die, you come back as another kind of, you know. And then they believe those philosophies. I've seen a religion where if you don't want to come back as a dog, they file their canine. It's a ceremony. They file this their canine. They file it. They believe that if you don't file your canine while you are alive, you die. In your second life, you'll be a dog. So because they don't want to be dogs, they file their canine. I can imagine how painful that process is. But they believe it. They believe it. Because somebody told them. There's a series on Discovery. Is it Real Time? They call it Dangerous Devotion. Terrible Devotion or Dangerous Devotion. So Deadly Devotions. And you will see how people, real life stories of how people have dedicated themselves to certain religions. Deadly ones. Very deadly ones. Somebody just comes up and starts propagating something, and somebody thinks they are finding peace with that thing, and then they join, and then they give you one thing. They say you should just be dangling that thing, and you dangle it for hours, for 5 hours. You are dangling it because they have somebody told you to do something, and by the time their eyes begin to open, the owner of the religion does not want them to go. Somewhere, somehow, always ends up in chaos. Words, very powerful. And that's why we should be careful what we listen to. I was listening to radio one day. I was going with my friend, and one Nkankar man was speaking. He's in Akure here, actually. The man lives in Akure here. And he was talking about their experiences. How one day he was driving his car in Akure here, and a man hit him. And the man ran away. And when the man ran away, the man did not repair his car. I think the man pursued him. But at some point, the man entered into some streets in this Futa area and disappeared. The man went back. I don't know what he said. He read something in their religion and he slept. And you know, he had a dream exactly the way that man hit him and all that. And the way the man was entering Futa area, and he followed the man. And in that his experience, he saw the house that the man entered. Is that not highly convincing? As in real experience. The man, by 4 a.m., he left his house, went to wait at the man's gate. And by the time the man was driving out, the man waited there. I think the man drove out like an hour or 2 hours later. He called him and said, "Oh, girl, you hit my car." And you know how many people will listen to that thing on radio that day? And they will be convinced that this thing works. Let's be careful about this thing works. Somebody posted on our WhatsApp group at work today the kind of scams we have in Nigeria. I don't know if you have seen that post. They say when people even tell you it is not a scam, that telling you it is not a scam is a scam. That people say all kinds of things to scam you, and then when they tell you, "Oga, no be scam, please, it is a scam." Hallelujah. And people will listen to that kind of story just because the man was dispersing it on radio. And thank God I was a believer. Thank God I'm a believer. I listened to it. It didn't make sense to me. But it was going to make sense to some people. I remember when I was in Gospel Faith Mission as a boy, there was a man that came back. He was a member of the Gospel Faith Mission. He went after Guru Maharaj along the line. Yes. The man, after years of all kinds of things, somewhere, somehow, God delivered him. And he came back. Not many people had that opportunity. Came back and started saying all kinds of things. I don't know what pushed him there. And in some cases, some people also go and look for what is not lost. Be careful. Let's go and check this thing. Lord, woli, eko lukwe wa ema wa careful. Motiso temio. Praise God. Of course, when God's word floods a man's life, there will be faith enough to move. Because it's not just enough that there's something ahead of you. That energy that will take you from place to place, from dimension to dimension, is what? It's faith. Because at every point in time in your life, you must be convinced of why you are where you are today. Hallelujah. Some of us have made up our mind that even unanswered prayers will not take us away from the Lord. If we pray today and ko happen, ko je, we'll pray again tomorrow. We'll pray again next tomorrow. One day we will what? We'll get it. Certain people have left the Lord because they prayed and God did not answer their prayer. Hallelujah. So we must always be convinced. Look at those Hebrew men in the book of Daniel. Those men said, even if our God will not save us, we will still not what? It's not bow. We have to be so Jews at heart. Solomon said in Proverbs that hope deferred, it does what? It makes the heart sick. You can be sick at heart when your hope is not coming. There's nothing as frustrating as it, as that thing. Hallelujah. And I think, please, when we come out and share our success stories about faith and all that, we should also share our stories of when we did this thing and it didn't work. So that I can encourage somebody who is doing it now and is not working. But when you paint everything like Steve Boshe, Salon down. It's not every time that is Salon down. Hallelujah. We have lost people. We prayed. And they left. We should also mention some of these situations. Hallelujah. It's just that despite all that, we wait on the Lord. We keep waiting and saying, God. Job said, even if he slays, he said, all the days of my appointed time, I am going to wait. Until what? Until my change comes. And that takes me to the next thing. You need a community. If your local church life is weak, you are easy to be taken away. Something else will take your attention. Some of us are not open to the brethren. You need a community. You need a community. That is the truth. You need somebody to encourage you. Somebody to encourage you and say, brother, you know, just try. Keep moving. And when people come to me and they share certain things, I tell them, for example, I have a friend who is divorced now. A friend. We went to school together. She's divorced. And when she tells me a story, I'll tell her, before I start counseling, I tell her, see, I don't understand what you are going through. I don't have the feeling of your infirmity. Yes, so let us be sincere and be plain. I don't have, because I have not been once divorced. I said, but I can tell you what God's word says about your case. Hallelujah. Don't be the one who can counsel everybody. Be careful of taking that position. There are people that will come to you for counsel, you redirect them. I know somebody who has your kind of story. I think the person can what? Can help you. And that is why the church is the church. There are people that will come to me. For example, somebody like David Ochoga. Only you, God, would have used to do that work. I don't have that. You understand? I don't have that level of. And God used you and God helped you. You understand? There are kind of people that, people like BC, only Father Ogi can handle her. Hallelujah. Where is she? For now. This is a father. But some of you, if you live with Father Ogi, you'll be doing only. BC does not. BC will talk her own. As Father will talk his own, BC will what? And she know the hide them. Praise God. Respectfully. Praise God. And I think there are certain things that, there's a lot of promises in Scripture, but there are just a few I've highlighted. I'll just mention them. And then I'm going to close. Number one, the Lord will come again. That is a cardinal point in hope for us. He's coming And I think we need to flood the social media with that message that he's coming back again. That's a hope for us. Because if he doesn't come back, it means that, you know, the world has been saying the hope of his coming self. Where is it? But we know he said it to us. We know he can't lie. He said it to us that he's coming back and he's going to come back. Hallelujah. And listen, when he comes, he's going to crush death. That is another hope. It doesn't matter what is ravaging your body. Sickness, disease, whatever it is. Sometimes it looks impossible. When you hear that even death itself will be cast into that lake. And then you are wondering, what is death, gun? It's a mystery. If you say death is a spirit, what kind of spirit is death? Hallelujah. I believe you have seen death standing somewhere and talking one day. But it's a spirit. And it's going to be cast into hell. Hallelujah. He says it's going to wipe our tears when that day comes. All this awala we are having in our bodies, ache, going to, stressing ourselves. As I was coming from home, I was pitying myself. I was so tired. I had planned that maybe Father Ogi will just take something before, but then we will not be tired. Praise God. All that will leave. Our vile bodies will be changed. You will possess the kingdom. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good intention to give you what? The kingdom. We enter into our inheritance. Hallelujah. These are things that are ahead of us. And as a matter of fact, let us occupy ourselves with these things. Amen. I don't know somebody that came to meet me and was talking about certain extra biblical scripture. I said, even the 66 books they gave me, I have not finished. We have not finished this one. Please, don't. This one, you read it for 90 years of your life. It will expire you. Another generation will pick it up. They will read. You know, since when they have been reading this Bible? And it keeps outliving everybody. Praise God. So when we have not finished this one, you are not trying to go and read Christian Science. I don't know what you are looking for. There are certain things you should not even give the opportunity. If I had my way, I would not read the Quran. Except for, and it's not like I will now carry Quran because I want to know Quran. I will now start reading Quran from, what's my problem? What am I looking for? Alright? But, maybe if I need to pick something from, but it's not, and I learned something from a man of God. He said any book that is not approved of God, he said I don't leave it in my house. And let's be careful. Any book that is not, will not, you know, edify you, will not, any book, whatever it is, please, let's keep it somewhere. These promises, these hopes that have been set ahead of us, they are enough to occupy us. Hallelujah. They are enough for us to continue to look and continue to watch and continue to see. And in closing, I want to say this, if there's anybody here who has lost hope, godliness also is profitable not only in the world to come, but also what? Also here. God has a future for you. Like Pastor Benga would say that before, he used to think in his life that will he ever make it in his life? Listen to me, you will make it. Even in this world, you will what? You will make it. You make it because godliness is profitable where? He has promises for this place. And what? It's not just that you have money, but that thing that God is promising in the world to come, we begin to see it happen in your life. You will live in economy of heaven. You will live in sound health. You have a foretaste of the hope to come. Hallelujah. And that's what the word of God is promising us. Let us stick with the word. With the word comes faith. And with faith, like the language that is going on around, we move. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me apologize for forgetting to pick you. I don't remember I did that. I'm very sorry. Amen. And as we were speaking, I was condemning myself. Amen. I'm sure God could not have given me the instruction to wait for the hope of the consolation. Because I don't have that patience. I really don't have it. Look, it's okay if you tell me you'll be here for 4 o'clock. It's cool. Sure, you understand. But when I just said, wait for me. I'm there till 8 p.m. And my wife is calling me, Shey Waleni. Do you understand? And if I shift, I'll spoil the whole program. Heaven will have to look for somebody else to say, go and wait. Because heaven needed 2 witnesses. The Bible says a matter of 2 or 3. Heaven needed 2 to birth the Christ. And he had Simon and who? So if one of them had failed, they would have had to wait until they were completed. So I'm going to talk about the hero of faith. Hallelujah. It's one of my greatest heroes. That man, Simon, waited. How long he waited? Oluwa, you are a hero, hello? You know why I'm not perturbed about the end? People say, Okunaye today. I know it has not day. Because they have not started asking us, where is the hope of his coming? That I know that has not time, any time. Praise God. That means the message, like Pastor said, we are going to start preaching, is about the end. You see, the messages will start preaching will change. That Jesus is coming back. Then it will now preach. After a few years, I don't know how many years, but a generation may die. So I'm not, it's not like, it's very likely you become grandmothers and grandfathers. And you still will not come. Can you cope with that? Because so many things must happen. Said, will I find faith when I come? So many things are there, but we are not studying eschatology tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor. These are the revelations I got. I got a topic from this message. The promise of our faith. The promise of our faith. That's a message I will preach one day. The Lord helping me in Jesus' name. I don't know whether you got your own rev. I noted that one reason why Israel won't follow Christ is because of his teaching. I got that on the internet. Somebody interviewed some Jews and they said they can't follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, when you slap me here, turn the other one. And they can't do that with the Arabs. So they love that one, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They can't trust God to protect them. So they will follow him now. So a situation will arise in Israel when their Sabi will fail. Their Sabi must fail for them to turn to and look for their Christ. So many things are still going to happen. Shall I watch? Praise God. Thank God I'm in Nigeria. Praise God. So I want to ask a question. Where in the Bible did God say our glory and the fulfillment of our destiny? Who is giving me 5 minutes? Who is committing that sin? Prophet me, you're the one committing the sin? It's a sin. Why can I talk in 5 minutes? Okay. God bless all of you. So cancel it. Remove 10 minutes. I'm leaving here for 7 o'clock. Praise God. Where do you read about Kadara? Where do you find it? Have you found it in the Bible that God said about your fulfillment of your destiny? Do you understand? Pastor Ogi spoke about sweet words and all these things. Things that appeal to the human psychic. And one of the things that people don't know about Satan, what the Bible calls worldliness is driven by Satan. And hear what it means. You see, the present civilization, what we call Western civilization today, has an underlying principle that drives it. And do you know what it is? Human comfort. Anything that will make any human being comfortable they will look for it. All the science we are doing is to look for how you can become more comfortable. And Jesus spoke to Peter, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." For what did he say? Suffered not the things of God, but the things that be of. In other words, what he said, that you are always looking now for the interest of men, their comfort. So when you say, "I'm comfortable with this," you just may be echoing from the spirit realm, the doctrine of the spirit. If you read the old Hebrews 11, there is nowhere where you find that the people that followed God were comfortable. He didn't provide comfort for them in quotes. Hallelujah. So it was not about them, it's about the king. It's what he wants. In Yoruba land, they said, how did they say it now? There are many things about the king. But you know this one. Oni arenpe. Do you know the meaning of that? Ogbe wa ti fa e. Emma Bolaf. Who owns both of you? The king owns you and Ifa. Come to the palace. Do you follow the logic here? The king says, where the word of a king is, there's what? There's power. He has the final word. That's why they call them Kabiosi. No one has any right to question. Once words have gone out of his mouth, they are law. The church must begin to come to that understanding that we are not dealing with a democratically elected savior. He's not democratically elected. He's not winning an election. He's here as king. Praise God. That's one ref. All right. One other thing I noticed, the imagination is very important. You said that we paint hope with words. If your imagination is not healed, you can't capture the realm of God's hope. You can't capture it. When God brought Abraham out, I said, look at the stars. He saw the stars, but what did he see? He didn't see stars. He saw children. I don't know whether you understand me. His imagination went to overdrive. You can't walk in this path without a solid imagination. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. The problem is that we use our imaginations to daydream. But God gave us that imagination to help us with the issue of hope. You and I need it. Very, very, it's very important. And the last thing there is hope is based on promises. If you don't know the promises of God, you really cannot walk in hope. And it's very, very strong. And let me say this, like a way. How many of the men that followed God in the old and even the new, did the devil not fight to a standstill? Was there any of them that Satan did not fight? Even though they did not mention Satan categorically, at least in the life of Abraham, there is no place where the Bible says Satan stood before Abraham and said, "You will not go forward." Did you read it? But you know, all through his whole life, Satan stood there to withstand him. Are you with me? That hope was instrumental in their warfare. Are you with me? Without hope, you cannot fight. You cannot do the marathon. Life is a marathon. It's not a 10-yard dash. You need hope. Praise the Lord. So that's the summary I have. That's my own revelation. Praise God. I would have loved to share or ask you to share your own with us tonight, but it's okay. Hallelujah. The reason why I want to finish is that I said we look at the questions we raised on Sunday today. Is that okay? So let's just quickly run through it. I have three questions here, and that's what was written. First Timothy 5, verse 24. The first question has to do with sins going before and sins coming after. Can you go to 22? Because you need to read it in context. Paul said, please follow the line of thought. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Verse 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and thy own infirmities. Number 24. To me, you can say that 23 was an insertion. It was not part of the thought process. So the next thought should have been 24. It says some men's sins are open beforehand. And so it's speaking about bringing people to leadership. Now you don't lay hands, you don't pick people suddenly. There's a judgment required here. Praise God. And so you find that there are certain people that you don't need any revelation to know that they are not fit. Now they may be talented, they may have all the oratory powers, but they are just not fit for leadership. So say, don't lay hands on them. Don't commission them into ministry. Their sins are open beforehand. And so you can come to judgment. You can make a judgment call. You can call a judgment on that. Praise the Lord. And he said, however, and some men, they follow after. In other words, what he was trying to tell them, or tell Timothy, some people you may not know them very well until you give them authority. Have you not heard it said before that there are certain people you don't really know them until you give them power and they begin to handle money? You don't know what it is to, you've not seen money. It's easy to abuse. Who are we abusing currently now? Amechi, Jagaban. It's easy to abuse them and say they are useless people and all that. Listen. Praise God. How many of you have gone to the bank to withdraw ₦1 million before? Okay, buy your. Have you withdrawn ₦1 million before? Okay, you have withdrawn ₦1 million. Now, the first time, how did you feel? You think everybody is watching you. When you look at them, like, go, blind your eye, in Jesus' name. You just suddenly feel vulnerable, exposed. You become the center of attraction, whereas nobody is even seeing you. But you're just conscious. Now, between the time you went into the bank, you were just a normal human being. But coming out, it's a different ballgame. Especially with all the bad testimonies we've had. Jesus, since we just hear one go, wow, they have come. Oh, what is it? Shall you understand? So you begin to see this, that certain people really can hide. They can hide their behavior. They can do many things. Well, just give them power, you begin to see all kinds of things will come up. You know, and so it was warning Timothy, be careful who you bring to authority, because it's very important. The church is in the mess we are. I think we were discussing the vehicle this morning on our way to Akumba. Was it to this morning or this afternoon? And we came to realize that leadership makes or mar any enterprise. It's leadership. How many of you remember, you know, we were all young. I'm asking those who were here. When Abacha held sway, Abacha exerted so much influence on us that even at night, people were wearing sunshade. That's how much influence he wielded. When Obasanjo became the president, everybody going to Asu Rock must dress like a Yoruba man and wear the Yoruba. That is what leadership exerts. They see you and they just somehow, everyone just copies you. So if you are an unstraightforward person, chances are that people wonder you will also become unstraightforward. Sure, you understand. So leadership is very, very critical. And the work of God has suffered so much because we brought wrong people into leadership. I know it's a challenge. God will help us in Jesus' name. So the second question has to do with... I'm sorry, I have no... Not giving too much wine. 1 Timothy 3:8. Glory to God. That the deacons must not be given to much wine. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. It was your question. Praise God. Now, when you read scriptures like this, you should ask many questions. Number one, if you look at the Old Testament, you cannot be a priest and minister under the influence of alcohol. You can't dare it. You can't dare it. God specifically gave instructions that priests must not enter his presence drinking alcohol. And it's a normal thing for them. Praise God. Even pagan priests don't enter their shrine drinking wine, alcohol. That's how stringent it is when you are coming to the presence of spirits, especially the spirits that are original spirits. Do you understand? It's not the spirit behind the Oba of Lagos that they took his sum of office and there were no consequences. You can't try that with the Oba of Benin. Oh, they don't woo. They said of Oba of Benin that there are seven women in that palace, stark naked, that they keep pounding, not pounding yamu, just empty pastel, right? And they keep chanting. The word of the Oba is law. And they are chanting like that throughout the whole day for 365 days in the year. And they are doing that until they replace them and they keep on chanting. Those things generate occultic power. And you want to go and carry the staff of office. Spirits will appear. The only man that has looked the Oba of Benin high to high and dared him was Archbishop Idahosa. And after him, no one has risen again. So when you go to Benin and you are charged, you get power and reach Idahosa. you won't talk. So everybody calms down. Sure, you understand. You can't confront those guys. They are not just occult. Those guys, they are dealing with fallen angels. So you can't come into the presence drunk. Those spirits will attack you. So how much more you are serving the living God? So when you begin to look at what Paul was trying to say here, we have to be careful about play of words. Again, we also should look at history. After Paul wrote this, were there any historical information that people began to drink? There was none. The people who began to drink were actually the Catholic priests. And we know what happened to their lives. Sure, you understand. So what Paul was therefore trying to say, that there must be people that are not given to getting drunk. Wine is not their lifestyle. And you know that one thing about wine is about control. Wine controls. It's easy to get addicted to wine. Very easy. You know what Solomon said about wine? He said, don't look at wine. When it is dancing, I'm paraphrasing it too. When it is dancing the cup. Did you watch that advert of Guinness? When you pour that thing, the thing goes in like that. It just comes like that. That thing draws your soul. Hallelujah. And you notice in the many films, when the person is stressed, before it was Marlboro, the Marlboro man, hallelujah. When the mean, how many watch the good, the bad, and the ugly? Clinically stood. I just put that cigar like that. Bad guy. Amen. Meth, that thing was apostolic. You swept souls away. But now they don't take it is hot. It's hot whiskey. Am I wonderful? Those of them that work with. Why just come close? The woman no bureau. I call that hot. I call that. So it's the norm now. So it's becoming something. But you can see we are handling a powerful testament. There's no again. Paul said, I was talking to a pastor, few weeks ago. He said, this little wine. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, okay, after you have drank your wine, do you get filled with the Holy Ghost after that? Because it'd rather be filled with the Holy Ghost. After you have finished your wine, do you now go and get Holy Ghost again? Because the Holy Ghost that will be generating inside of you will be Holy Ghost wine. Praise God. What a deck, Dada. It was like many years ago, someone came out. I don't have to share the story here. They said, Kaga salt tea. You don't remember this tea?
Kaga salt. I don't know the name, but it was a tea. They said they came from Russia. That tea, they were on brew anymore. But I found out that the one day I drank more than I should drink. I just found that the anointing that was generating inside of me. You do me say dusha.
Happy.
Ah, then chooks. I can enjoy life. I can move now. When my eyes cleared, I said, Coco, how did you guys prepare this thing? I never asked before. And they said, we soak it in water, we add sugar. We go, yay. Go. That was where that thing stopped. So we are not drinking again. Nobody should. And they called it tea. Satan will go to hell. They called it tea. This is nothing, it's a kogoro. After it has been fermented for about 4 or 5 days, and when you decant it, then you now drink, then you are taking tea. God. But the people involved, shall the Lord forgive them, but it's Satan that will suffer in Jesus' name. So please, I just beg you, don't go near it at all. Not for recreational, not for anything, not for even... I know of a pastor who wanted to go into politics. And we used to warn people. They say, if you are not called, don't go. But the truth is that many people who are not disciplined can't do politics. But this is how it went, because I later heard. You go, politicians don't do meeting in the day. Check out my yellow man, say meeting lale. So when you are dealing with prayer, pray for the nation, you know you are dealing with witchcraft. They meet at night. And you meet around 12, 1, when it is cold. Sheget. And when they joke on them, but you are pastor. Pastor kill a mamu, my mumot. That's where it starts from. And for your mouth. The following day, pastor kill a mamu, my mumot. No, mot, mufemu. They will not keep quiet. The third day, I call low stout there, just stout. I call add stout. Then while you are drinking that, the level of stout, the ratio is already changing. She follow her. After a while, Pastor Kweke Jokoba is now swap babe because Joko said boy. Come for Parilara. Before we said Jack went down the hill, Pastor had a pregnated small girl. That's where his testimony ended. So when you are talking about these things, please, you must be careful. Don't go where angels won't follow you. Don't go there. Just stay away from it. Hallelujah. The final question that was asked. What is the role of prophecy? Okay, 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. Let me quickly go through that. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I think somebody should take that as a teaching next week Tuesday. And then we will rest. Or do you want me to just quickly explain it, what it means? Okay, let me just quickly explain for something else may come up next week. Look. It still comes down to the issue of promises and the prophecies that are all in the Bible. Majority of us are not waging our warfare according to what has been written concerning us. Because we don't even know what has been written concerning us. And Satan has come giving us false finish lines, false hopes, false expectations, and false strategies. Are you with me? They spoke about us in the Word of God. Are you with me? He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. It did not say sin should not. It says sin shall not. It's like something finished. Can you walk in the reality of that in waging your warfare against flesh? Are you with me? So this is a pattern for waging warfare. You take the promises and you use it to wage war. Not just promises. Those promises are also prophecies. Amen. And of course, there also could be prophecies that while they were praying for you, the word of prophecy came. And God is saying, you are my son, you are my son. You are not, I'm going to use you. Now, that prophecy
essentially has told you that you have been separated for something serious for God. Now, that should tell you that you don't take anyhow decision with your life. That's how you wage a war.
Amen.
Do you follow me? You realize that you are just a not anyhow kind of person. The hand of the Lord is upon you, and for that, you are keeping yourself. Now, let me say this, please, and I bring a close. Don't forget, Elijah said to God, I'm the only one left. He said, I have 7,000. 7,000. They never manifested, but the hand of God was upon them all. We never knew about them. But if Elijah said, I'm not doing it, he would have picked one of the 7,000. If one said he does not do it, he will pick another person. So for anything God does, that's my own theory. There is a 7,000 that can do the same thing. So don't kid yourself, you are the only one. But if I'm not there, nothing's going to happen. You don't know God at all. Hallelujah. So let's be encouraged that even if Catherine Kuhlman used to say that the anointing and grace that God placed upon her was not ours originally. It was supposed to have been for a man who rejected it, and God gave it to her to spite him. So God does do things like that. Israel did it. Israel said they will not bring forth God's glory. He said, I will look for a people that are no people, and I'll call them my people. Then Bible said Israel will be provoked. And we said that what will provoke Israel is not the miracles. It's not miracles, oh. When you do miracles, they will ask you, have you walked through the Red Sea? Your father, Babe, Babe. So called the Red Sea. Baba, so nonsense, oh. So when you come from a lineage, oh man, feel on pride though. Oh. I feel on pride. Oh, praise God. I say, Baba, me look. I hope I'll finish today. Oh, praise God. So obituary, they're going to celebrate their great grandfather also. Said the first man to drive in a trailer into the village. That was their pride. And I said, really? What are we going to do? The person who first went to the moon, you know. Amen. So these are things you and I must know, that we must take God very seriously. We must take Him very seriously. And I trust God will help us in Jesus' name. So many prophecies have been spoken about us. Pick your own. No. But basically, like I tell people, we have only one destiny. One destiny. And that is what? Conform to the image of Christ. Shekinah. You go and your prayer, your everything, target it for that. Hallelujah. And it shall be well with us in Jesus' name. Can we appreciate Pastor D? Pastor, thank you very much. I enjoyed this. Praise God. Can we rise and let's just appreciate the Lord and pray? We are going home. We are going home. I know some of us are tired. I just barely made it tonight to the end. It's part of the waiting process. Can you pray for yourself? Paul was writing to the book of Hebrews. He said, don't cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense for reward. Can you ask God to give you the capacity to stay and stick it out? That you will not cast away and abandon your confidence. You don't know what challenges stands before you. Well, can you pray and ask God, strengthen me. Lord, strengthen me. That song says, there is a race that I must run. I must run. There is a victory to be won. Give me power every hour to go through. Lead me through, lead me through, Lord Jesus, lead me through, lead me through, lead me through, Lord Jesus, lead me through. There's a race that I must run. There's a race that I must.
I must run, there is a victory to be won. Give me power. Give me power. Every hour to be through.
Father, I pray and ask for mercy that you will grant us the power to remain true to you in all situations we may find ourselves in the name of Jesus. May no one cast away ease or our confidence. May circumstances not be strong enough to overwhelm us. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross and despised the shame. I pray, Father, that such tenacity of heart will be given to us too, to see us through in the name of Jesus. We must lay hold upon the promise that was made. I'm praying and asking that this hope, which is an anchor for our souls, will not shake in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your servant you have used. We pray that you will multiply grace upon him. And Lord, you open his understanding that he also will be fruitful in every good work. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.